our first message entitled The Key to Balance, and that is simply found in Psalm 29:2. It talks about giving the Lord the glory due unto His name. When we get to the point where we start living for the purpose which we were created, we will have balance. Amen. And that, of course, is to give glory to God. The second message, we preached on the importance of a proper appraisal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you want a balanced life? Value what God values. Amen? Place value upon what God places value. Third, we looked at prioritizing by principle. We had many points, but we had a couple of applications. The first thing we need to do if we're going to prioritize by principle is we're going to have to learn the Scriptures. Amen? We're going to have to know what God says about things. And let me just say this. The Scriptures never conflict. Amen? The Scriptures never conflict. See, God still wants me, God has called me to be a Christian. God, not long after that, called me to be a husband. Then God called me to be a dad. Amen? God called me to be a pastor. And all of those things can be done if we prioritize by principle. Amen? And so the Scriptures never conflict. The Scriptures, praise God for this, Brother Hazel Schwart, the Scriptures can be obeyed. When God calls you to do something, He will give you the wherewithal to do it. Amen. So when He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, what do you think He expects us to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. That's why we have mission outreaches. That's why we have evangelists that come in that we support. So think about that now as we talk about the Scriptures can be obeyed. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we mentioned this. Think about this now. The Scriptures are not suggestions. High time. Listen, high time God's people got back to listening to thus saith the Lord. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. They're not called the 10 suggestions. They're called the 10 commandments. Amen. So, by the way, the Scriptures work together. Isn't it beautiful how you learn truth and that truth meshes with truth that you've already learned and they work together to strengthen us for God's Word? So we talked about prioritizing by principle, learn the Scriptures, and then living by a schedule. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Living by a schedule. Our message last week was principles to live by for our walk with God. We talked about how we need to read, we need to study, we need to pray, we need to go to church, we need to be faithful to church. We need to serve, we need to witness. Then we talked about principles for our family. Husbands are to lead in love. Wives are to submit to and to reverence their husbands. Children are to be trained and nurtured and corrected. Amen. And instructed. Amen. Talked about that. Then we talked about principles for our work. Wherever you work, work is ordained by God. Work is ordered by God, and we're to work for God. Not for our boss, amen. We're to work for God. He said, servants, be obedient to your masters as unto Christ, amen. So we talked about principles for our walk with God and our family and our work, and principles for ourselves. We're to take care of ourselves physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And I got so convicted about the physically, we're not having ice cream tonight, we're having watermelon. Amen. So I knew I wouldn't get many amens on that. You people want ice cream, amen? So do I. In our context tonight, we're brought face to face with what happens when you repeatedly disobey God. Listen, folks, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And this passage of Scripture talks about what we know as in church history as the Babylonian captivity. And it's proof positive that God is not mocked. Because for 490 years, God's people refused to keep the Sabbath of the land. God said, every seventh year you sow that land, you're supposed to let that land rest. And by the way, farmers will tell you that's still a good principle. It's a good principle because God's the one who came up with it. And they didn't do that for 490 years. God said, okay, you didn't let it rest every seventh year, I'm going to let it rest for 70. And he had the Babylonians come in. Look at verse number 2. It says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Boy, you're in a bad spot when God gets on the other side. Amen. Amen? Why did God do that? S S-I-N, sin. Sin, amen. The sin of disobedience. Verses 3 and 4, something interesting you see here, talks about Ashpenaz, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel of the king's seed. It says, children in whom are no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom. Now I think about what, Grace, you said before. The devil got all about you and said, God can't use you. God doesn't even love you. And I'll tell you what, Satan wants our kids. Don't ever forget that. And it's amazing here. You look at it, it says at the end of verse 4, it says, that whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. Listen, I hope this is not pride. I don't think it is. But folks, it'll be a cold day where it's hot all the time before my kids go into the public schools and learn the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. You say, Pastor, that's mean. I got my kids in the public school. Listen, you do whatever you want. But I promise you this, it's not getting better in those schools. It's getting worse. It's getting more to the stage of indoctrination. And I don't need that for my kids. Amen. Got enough problems with the old sinful nature. Amen. Here they wanted the children. Verse 5 tells us they were to be fed with a portion from the king. And then in verses 6 and 7, you learn of the name change. Clarence Larkin has a great book on Daniel. He said this about the changing of the names. He said, the purpose in changing their names was to wean them away from their land and religion and get them to adopt the religion and habits of the heathen nation where their future was to be spent. Think about it, folks. We come to verse 8. And verse 8 is a key verse in the book of Daniel. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. You see, Daniel's diet and the devil's diet were different. Daniel had some conviction, some standards with what he had been brought up about. By the way, I have in my Bible here the original purpose-driven life right here. Rick Warren sold a lot of books about the purpose-driven life. And by the way, I never read it and gave up on it the day we had a flock of people come into our church in Massachusetts on a Sunday night. And I asked them where they were from. They told me what church they were from. And they said, we're going through Rick Warren's 40 Days of Purpose. And our pastor has decided we're not having church on Sunday night anymore. That's the wrong purpose. Amen. That's just the wrong purpose. I look at this decision that Daniel made, and I have another note in my Bible. Premeditated obedience. Why? Because he'd already purposed in his heart. The decision, Brother Leonard, was already made. Before it ever came to him, he already had the decision made. You know, our lives are the result of the decisions we make in accordance with the Word of God. Young people, pay attention to that. If you don't hear anything else, listen to this again. Our decisions, our lives, are the result of the decisions we make in accordance to the Word of God. Let me give you a few people. Let's go through our Bibles tonight. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. We'll look at 10 people real quick and some decisions that they made, and then we'll give some application tonight. Genesis chapter 12, I want you to notice the first person here, and I'm just going to start reading right at the beginning. Genesis chapter 12. And we know here God says in verse 1, and God, the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And then God promises him a whole bunch of things. But you come down to verse 4 and it says this. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. We see Abraham, and I want you to consider Abraham. He chose to believe God. He chose to believe God. You look later in the book of James where he's called the friend of God, and it said that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, if you're here and you're lost tonight, can I tell you this? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can believe on the Lord and it will be counted unto you for righteousness. Abraham made the conscious choice. God said, Abraham, I want you to get out of your country and out of your kindred. And the Bible says this later in Hebrews. He went not having any idea where he was to go. How about that, Brother Brandon? Amen. Just go. Okay? You know what he did? He went. He chose to believe God. Let me ask you this question tonight. How much are you trusting God tonight? Oh, I don't mean that God has called everybody to Rwanda. He hasn't. For some of us, he's called us to work in the office, and in the factory, and in the restaurant, and at Myers, amen, wherever. But listen, are you trusting him more today than you did at this time last year? Abraham made a conscious choice. He said, you know what, all things being equal, I'm just going to believe God and trust him. Amen. Number two tonight, go over just a couple, one chapter, go over to Genesis 13. We're going to look at some positives and some negatives tonight. First one is a positive, second one's a negative. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. You remember the background story here. Abraham and his nephew Lot, God blessed them mightily, and their herds were so big that they had to get herdsmen, and the herdsmen strove together, and Abraham said, look, this is foolish. Look at all this land that's before us. Whatever way you want to go, you go, and I'll go the other way. And Lot, instead of doing what would have been the right thing, well, he said, Uncle Abraham, you go whichever way you want, and I'll go the other way, because I know you walk with God. But he lifted up his eyes, verse 10 says. He was on the hill of decision, and he lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one for the other. By the way, if you go down just one more verse and look at verse 13, would have been a good idea to find this out first. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You know what Lot did? Abraham chose to believe God. Lot chose to live by sight. And I want to tell you, folks, there's a lot of that going on in our Christian circles today. Folks saying, you know what, that looks like a better job than the one I have, only it takes you out of church on Sunday. Come on. Oh, I'll be making so much more, and I'm going to move into this better house. That's going to cause you to have to work more at the job and make more payments, and all God's people said. Listen, Lot chose to live by sight. Oh, Brother Brandon did such a great job on Moses. Moses, look at Hebrews chapter 11. I know I'm taking it. It's really found in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, but I think a great cross-reference is in here in Hebrews chapter 11. And you folks know me. I usually like to go right through the Bible in order, but I'm skipping around tonight just to upset you. That's why I'm doing it, amen, just to upset you. Just to find out some of you know where Hebrews is, amen. Yeah, thank you, Brother Merrill. It's in the Bible, amen. The Bible's filled with Hebrews. They're all over the place. Amen. Verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing. He made a choice. By the way, this is a man that could have had the position, the pleasures, and the possessions of the entire world. And he made a choice, and he said, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What did Moses choose? Moses chose not to enjoy sin's seasonal pleasures. Ladies and gentlemen, you know this. Young people, listen to me and listen well. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care. Sin is fun. It is. Don't get so quiet, folks. It is for a season. And then comes reaping time. And that's when it's not fun at all. And sometimes, young people, you have sin's fun for a small season of life, and you spend the rest of your life reaping the consequences. Moses said, you know what? All things being equal, I'm going to side with the people of God. I'm not going to enjoy those pleasures of sin for a season. They're fleeting. He chose not to enjoy sin's seasonal pleasures. Back to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua, chapter number 24. Many of us know this verse. Great verse. Verse 15 of Joshua chapter 24 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," what's that next word, church? "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Abraham chose to believe God. Lot chose to walk by sight. Moses chose not to enjoy sin's seasonal pleasures. Joshua chose to serve the Lord. He said, "We're serving the Lord." I've preached on this so many times, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's important. By the way, Joshua made the decision. Mrs. Joshua didn't make the decision. Amen. It's okay, ladies. You can nudge your husband. Wake him up for me. Amen. No, listen, he said, "Listen, I don't care what everybody else does. I can't wait, Pastor Donald, until our boys are teenagers. And they come to us and they say, you know, everybody else is doing it." Brother Merrill, stop laughing. Amen. Everybody else is doing it. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A good friend of mine, we get our vehicles from Brother Ken Sikarczyk. He has a great line for those that are 16 and 17 and begin to think that rules don't apply to them. He said this, "When you pay your own way, you can have your own say." I like it. As soon as they leave the house, they can serve whoever they want. I hope they'll serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua chose to serve the Lord. Go over to Judges chapter 14, book of Judges chapter 14. Abraham chose to believe God. Lot chose to walk by sight. Moses chose not to enjoy sin's seasonal pleasures. Joshua chose to serve the Lord. Here we look at the life of Samson in Judges 14, verse 1. It says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines." Now, folks, those of you that are new to your Bible, you have to understand this. The Philistines were the enemies of God. So here Moses sees Samson sees what is no doubt a beautiful woman of the Philistines and says to his parents, "Get her for me." Go over to Judges 16, verse 1. It says, "Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went into her." Jump down to Judges chapter 16, verse 4. It says, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." What did Samson do? He chose to follow his fleshly desires. He chose to follow his flesh. Listen, by the way, that's an easy choice. Satan makes it real easy to follow the flesh. He makes it so your flesh rebels and says, you know what, you haven't been being treated right. You need this fleshly pleasure that I can give you, and I'll give it to you, and there won't be any consequences. Huh. Fat chance. Samson lost everything. Hey, young people, Samson lost everything. He ended up at the mill where he found out that sin blinds, sin binds, and sin grinds. All his life, all he did was the work of the devil for the rest of his life until the very end. Praise God, the hair of his head began to grow again. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, Samson chose to follow his fleshly desires. Let's go over to, 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. I want you to notice something else that we see. A great choice here. Love this story. I preach on this every week if you folks wouldn't get sick of it. Amen. Verse 42 of 1 Samuel 17, we see another character that made a choice. Says, "When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thee thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David unto the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, whom thou hast defied. What did David choose? He chose to stand against evil. He chose to stand. You say, Pastor, it's getting worse and worse and worse out there. The world's getting more evil and more evil. You know what we need? We need Christians who are going to stand for God. Amen. Stand up and say, you can't cuss my God. You can't stand against the living God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He created the hills. He created everything, and He created you, mister. We've all heard that story of the atheist who got up on his soapbox and he began to rail against God. And he began to rail against God. And he pointed up in the air and say, God, if you're real, knock me off this soapbox. And he kept doing it. He kept doing it until finally some burly football player came from the back of the room and came at full speed and tackled him and dropped him right on the ground. And the man looked up and said, what'd you do that for? He said, God was busy, so He sent me. I like it. You know the reason we're in the mess we're in is Christians aren't standing. We're not standing. Listen, you don't have to be contentious to contend. You know what? We could go up and yesterday I heard there was a quote-unquote gay pride rally. And by the way, there's not a more appropriate term than gay pride. Pride. Against the Creator. Up in Lansing, we were going up to the Lugnuts game, and I thought that, you know, if you're the right kind of Christian, you could be up there passing out tracts. Why? Because we don't have to be contentious to contend for the faith. We can stand and have a firm, loving spirit and still stand strong on the Word of God. He stood against evil. I love that. Oh, go with me to 1 Kings chapter 22. See a negative here. Abraham chose to believe God. Lot chose to walk by sight. Moses chose not to enjoy sin's seasonal pleasures. Joshua chose to serve the Lord. Samson chose to follow his fleshly desires. David chose to stand against evil. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 4. Says, and he said unto Jehoshaphat, will thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Again, if you're new to the Bible, you'd read that and say, well, that's good, he's helping this guy out. Except the king of Israel was the wicked Ahab. What did Jehoshaphat do? He chose to yoke up with the ungodly. Ladies and gentlemen, God help us. Pastor Donald, I appreciated what you preached on Wednesday night to your teens. Pastor Donald preached a message called Think Before You. And I think he had 7 points there. You know, the Bible commands us not to be unequally yoked with the ungodly. It doesn't command us to constantly be apart from them. We're to try to win them to Christ. But you listen to me, what concord hath Christ with Belial? So what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? He said, yeah, I'll yoke up with the ungodly. And it cost him dearly, by the way. And it always does. You know, when the church is a boat in the water of the world, everything's fine. But when the water of the world gets in the boat of the church, we're in trouble. Yeah. We're not to yoke up with the ungodly. Jehoshaphat chose to yoke up with the ungodly. Isaiah, go to Isaiah chapter 6. And by the way, there's so many more of these. We could give you a study on each one of these. I've only got 10 and I need to give some application here. Isaiah chapter number 6, please. Isaiah 6. And look at verse number 8. And you know what's happened here? Isaiah's seen God high and lifted up, and he says in verse 5, woe is me, I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Verse number 8 goes right along with Brother Hazel Schwartz's message. It says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Isaiah made the conscious choice. He chose to be available. He chose to be available. The best ability is availability, followed closely by dependability. Amen. By the way, if you're available for God, chances are you'll probably be dependable for God too. Amen. He said, I've chosen to say, God, if you need somebody, I'm someone. All of us have heard the poem, For Want of a Nail. For Want of a Nail. And it starts out, For Want of a Nail, the horseshoe couldn't be shooed on. And it ends up that basically the war was lost for want of a nail. You know, Jesus gave one prayer request in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. God's looking for available people. Not gifted people. Not talented people. Not people of great oratory skills. He's looking for available people. People that don't mind folding chairs. I'll tell you, I remember a friend of mine. He pastored a church up north, northern Michigan, and it was a very deacon-run church. I thank God for our deacons. Our deacons know how to deek. Amen? And by the way, they don't run me. They want me, under the leadership of the Lord, to be the head. Amen? I understand Christ is the head, but he puts a man, and we've got good deacons. We don't have any deacons that are oppositionists, professional antagonists. We don't have any of those. This man had some that these folks have been deacons since, I don't know, Noah came off the ark at this particular church. And this one man wasn't fulfilling the office of a deacon. And my friend sat him down and said, now, you're just not fulfilling the office, brother. And I'd like you to resign. And he told him what the Bible said. And Pastor Summers, to this day, I shudder every time I say this. Because the man said, preacher, I don't care what that book says. I'm telling you. Every time I say that, I'm almost ready for the lightning bolt. My friend decided, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that he just couldn't pastor there anymore. He said, I'm either going to be the pastor God wants me to be or not. And these men made it, so it was not. And so I think the church was running about 120 at the time. 90 folks went with him. And they were meeting in a school. And every service, Pastor Donald, they had to roll the piano out at this school. And they had to set up 90 to 100 chairs every service. And here are these people that had given their life and labored at that ministry and poured the foundation and pulled the bricks, and I watched them. I preached a Memorial Day up there, and I watched them folding chairs. I watched them picking up hymnals, putting it over, and I said, that's the kind of people God's going to use. Available people. Isaiah said, I'm choosing to be available. Let me give you just a couple more. Into the New Testament. Go to Luke 15. I love this one. Oh, Luke chapter 15. As soon as I said Luke 15, some of you that know your Bible said the prodigal son. Amen. What did the prodigal son choose? Well, he made a lot of bad choices, by the way. But we can see a good choice he made, too, in verse 17. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, and by the way, that's what people out in sin need to do. They don't need you to come get them and pull them back into church, though they need to know you care. They need to come to themselves. Realize where they are. He was in the hog pen. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. What did the prodigal choose? He chose to come home. He chose to come home. Come home, come home, ye that are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is pleading, pleading, O sinner, come. That's what he wants us to do. You're off, you've got a private sin nobody knows about. He just wants you to come home. He just wants you to come home. He wants you to just repent. My goodness, what am I doing with my life? This is a bad choice. I'm going to make a good choice. Appreciate our young people. Some of them come from rough homes. Some of them come from homes where mom or dad's not in the picture. And that, by the way, their mom or dad's trying to do the best they can. But it's still tough. Appreciate our young people that say, come to camp and say, I'm giving up my blades. appreciate a young person to go, come to camp and say, you know what, I haven't been honoring my parents. You know what they're saying? I want to come home. I want to come home where the blessing is, where the provision is, amen, where Father is, amen. I want to come home. Let me give you the 10th person tonight. It's a negative. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Abraham chose to believe God. Lot chose to walk by sight. Moses chose not to enjoy sin's seasonal pleasures. Joshua chose to serve the Lord. Samson chose to follow his fleshly desires. David chose to stand against evil. Jehoshaphat chose to yoke up with the ungodly. Isaiah chose to be available. The prodigal son chose to come home. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 10. Look what it says. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas chose the world over God. He chose the world over God. Unless we think we're above that, there are four kinds of soil that Jesus spoke about in the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soils. There's the stony kind that nothing gets in, and the devil comes and snatches up the seed. Then there's a kind where there's not much earth, and the roots get down just a little, but they can't get down too far. And then when trouble comes, that Christian falls away. Then there's the thorny soil. And the thorny soil is the one who is choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of the world. You know, it's easy to get up, caught up in the sin of covetousness. Amen? We can all get there. I think of times in my Christian life where I've said, you covetous devil. You covetous devil. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. You can say it to yourself. That's what I call myself when I do it. Call yourself whatever you want. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's a bad choice. Because you know what? The world is going to pass away. Then the fashion thereof going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let me just give you some applications on making principal choices. Important statement here, if you can get this. We can choose whether or not to obey God, but we cannot control the consequences. See, you can choose to disobey God, but God already has a consequence attached to that choice. So let me give you four quick applications. We must make a schedule based upon God's principles. Listen, choose that you're going to be in church when the doors are open. I mean, just put it on the schedule. In red, bold print, we're going, we're doing that. That's what we're doing, amen. As a family, we're serving the Lord. By the way, let me just say this about making a schedule. Make time for soul winning. Make time for Bible reading. Ma'am, forgive me. Make time for house cleaning. No amens on that? Good gracious. Listen, schedule it or it won't get done. Amen. Sir, schedule time. Amen. For whatever it is you do in the yard. Amen. Schedule time. Make a schedule. See, the devil just wants you to live free floating. Just go ahead and, yeah, it'll get done. No, it never does. Amen. So we must make a schedule. How about this? Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to win friends and influence people with this one. We must do things that we do not like to do. Some of you never get past Leviticus because those offerings just kill you. You just the caul and the fat and the kidneys and the liver, and you just die out. Listen, we need to do things we don't necessarily like to do. As much as it pains me to say it, I do need to eat vegetables. Brother Summers, I can't believe I just said that. I need to eat vegetables. Why? Because it's good for me. You know what? Bob Jones Sr. said this, every man ought to do three things every day he doesn't want to do just to build character. See, we get to this stage where we just don't, if we don't like it, we don't do it. And that makes us, like Brother Hazel Schwartz preached about, we become unwilling. Listen, we're going to have to do things that we don't like doing. Young people, clean your room. I knew I could get a lot of amens on that. Can't get ladies to clean their house, but I can get young people to clean their room, amen. We must do things that we don't like to do. How about this? As soon as we make a schedule and we start doing things that we don't like to do, we must expect our flesh to rebel. We must expect our flesh to rebel. It is not going to like that. And it's going to want to hit the alarm clock 15 times, and it's not going to want to live by that schedule. It's going to try to talk you out of decisions that you made to, when you purposed in your heart that you were going to serve God. We got to expect it. We have to remember, fourthly, that we will be rewarded with peace for obedience. See, the world is clamoring for peace. There's an easy way to get it. Just obey God. Just obey God. And He will give you that peace. I can't tell you the times in my life that there was turmoil all around me, but I knew I had done what God wanted me to do. And the sleeping came easy. Peace. We will never live the victorious, balanced Christian life living by feeling. Well, I can't tell you, honestly, it nauseates me to hear this when adults that have been married for 15 and 20 years say, well, I just don't love him anymore. Honestly, gag a buzzard off a dumpster. Really. It's a choice. It's a choice. We choose and our actions prove it. You're not going to live the victorious life just the day you feel the victory in Jesus. I'm just going to do everything for God. And when I don't, well, I guess I just won't go to church today. You're not going to live the victorious, balanced life like that. Listen, we must make principled choices. Make a principled choice tomorrow to start your day by reading this. Amen. Make a principled choice that I'm going to give time to prayer tomorrow. Make a principled choice that I'm going to witness, that I'm going to attend church, that I'm going to serve, that I'm going to give of my tithe and give to missions, amen, and give for special projects. I'm going to love my spouse and my family, my preacher and my church, and I'm going to spend time with people that are important in my life. Make the choice. I'm going to make the principled choice that I'm going to submit myself at work to my boss. Even though he's lower than a snake's belly, I'm going to submit myself to him. Why? Because God has principles for all those things. And He tells us to do it. Making principled choices. Father, we love You.